welcome to another installment of the OmniCare Clinical Nurse Podcast Series. Our goal is to touch on relevant topics that are common to the post-acute care setting. The clinical nursing team at OmniCare is comprised of mostly former post-acute directors of nursing, regional nurses, and infusion nurse specialists. My name is Denise Generali, OmniCare Clinical Nurse, and I will be your host today. Joining today is Danielle Venturi, Consultant Pharmacist Manager at OmniCare. For today's topic, we will be discussing vaccine handling and administration. Danielle, thank you for joining today. Can you tell us a little bit about why this topic is so important to our listeners?
Sure, Denise. Thanks for having me. Several vaccines have been made available recently, and it's important to distinguish between them and understand where each belongs in long-term care communities' vaccination programs.
I guess we should start by asking, what are the most recent vaccines, and in which resident populations are they indicated?
Well, let's begin with the newest vaccine, RSV, for the prevention of lower respiratory tract disease from respiratory syncytial virus. Adults at highest risk for severe RSV illness include older adults ages 60 or older, adults with chronic heart or lung disease, adults with weakened immune systems, and adults living in nursing homes or other long-term care facilities. Then there's influenza. Seasonal influenza remains a leading cause of serious illness, hospitalizations, and death, particularly among older adults. Since 2010, the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, also known as ACIP, has recommended routine annual influenza vaccination for everyone 6 months of age or older, unless otherwise contraindicated. Influenza vaccine is recommended by the end of October. However, vaccination efforts continue throughout the season as long as influenza viruses are circulating and unexpired vaccine is available. Last, we'll talk about COVID-19. The FDA has recently approved and updated the 2023-2024 COVID-19 monovalent vaccine for use in individuals ages 12 and older, specially formulated to target COVID-19 variants to better provide protection against potentially severe outcomes such as hospitalization and death. It's important to note that any bivalent COVID-19 vaccines previously available should no longer be used.
Wow, that's great information, Danielle. So what do we need to know about storage considerations?
Appropriate vaccine storage and handling practices are crucial in protecting individuals and communities from vaccine-preventable disease. Vaccine quality is everyone's responsibility, from the moment it arrives at your facility until it's administered. The CDC is a great resource for specific storage and handling practices for each product. You can use the search term CDC ACIP Vaccine Storage and Handling. You'll find a comprehensive resource of healthcare providers on the CDC website regarding vaccine storage and handling recommendations for each vaccine. The toolkit includes guidance on managing and storing vaccine inventory, using and maintaining storage unit and temperature monitoring equipment, preparing for emergency situations, and training staff.
So, Danielle, how are they administered?
Well, the package insert should always be reviewed prior to administration, but generally speaking, the RSV, influenza, and COVID-19 vaccines are all given IM or intramuscular. Studies have shown that vaccines are as effective when administered simultaneously as they are individually and carry no greater risk for adverse side effects, but there are some considerations. If multiple vaccines must be administered, administer each injection in a different injection site. The COVID-19 vaccine is known to cause injection site reactions such as pain, swelling, and redness in at least half of the recipients. If administration in separate limbs is not feasible or desired, administration in the same limb separated by at least 1 inch is appropriate.
Does the CDC offer any tips related to administration, Danielle?
It's a great question. The CDC is the best repository for vaccine administration tips. Some guidance includes: never administer a vaccine later than the expiration date. Administer vaccines within the prescribed time periods following reconstitution. You should also wait to draw vaccines into syringes until immediately prior to administration. It's important never to mix vaccines in the same syringe unless they are specifically approved for mixing by the Food and Drug Administration. And finally, another thing to remember is you should record vaccine and administration information, including lot numbers and injection sites, in the resident's record.
So what should we know about contraindications and precautions?
A contraindication is a condition in a resident that increases the chance of serious adverse reaction. In general, a vaccine should not be administered when a contraindication is present. A precaution is a condition in a resident that may increase the chance of a serious side effect or render a vaccine less effective. Normally, vaccination is deferred when a precaution is present. Many conditions are often inappropriately regarded as contraindications to vaccines. Some examples that may not be considered contraindications include mild acute illness, for example, diarrhea and minor upper respiratory tract illnesses, including ear infections, with or without low-grade fever, mild to moderate local reactions, and or low-grade moderate fever following a prior dose of the vaccine. It's important to refer to the provider if there's any questions or concerns about possible contraindications.
So of the vaccines that you have mentioned, what are some common side effects that you can talk about?
Most people experience no side effects or only mild ones following immunization. Mild side effects may include soreness, swelling, or redness at the injection site, or a mild fever. Severe side effects, such as a severe allergic reaction following vaccination, are extremely rare. However, any provider who administers vaccines should have procedures in place for the emergency care of a person who experiences an anaphylactic reaction. Epinephrine and equipment for maintaining an airway should be available and for immediate use. All vaccine providers should be familiar with your facility's emergency plan and should be certified to carry out that plan.
So how should we minimize adverse reactions in our resident population, Danielle?
One key is to preventing serious adverse reaction to vaccines is the provider's assessment. Properly screening for contraindications and precautions is fundamental. Every provider who administers vaccine should screen every resident before giving a vaccine dose. You can find screening questionnaires by using the search term Sample Screening Questionnaires Immunization Action Coalition.
Although I know it's rare, we should address the possibility of anaphylaxis. What signs should trigger any staff member to act?
Oh, that's a really good point, Denise, and you're right. It is a rare risk, but it's important that any person caring for the resident is familiar with the signs and symptoms of anaphylaxis. Even a nurse's aide who can recognize and alert a nurse of any visible signs could be the difference between life and death. So what are the signs and symptoms to watch for? Let's group these signs by body systems. Respiratory signs to watch for are stridor, high-pitched sound when breathing, hoarseness, sensation of the throat closing or tightening, respiratory distress, such as shortness of breath or wheezing, coughing, trouble swallowing or drooling, nasal congestion, runny nose, or sneezing. Some of the gastrointestinal signs could be nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, abdominal pain, or cramps. Cardiovascular signs include dizziness, fainting, abnormally fast heart rate, abnormally low blood pressure, a weak pulse, cyanosis, or the bluish discoloration, pallor, or flushing. And then skin mucosal things to look for could be generalized hives, widespread redness, itching, conjunctivitis, or swelling of eyes, lip, tongue, mouth, face, or the extremities. Some neurological things that could happen include agitation, convulsions, acute change in mental status, a sense of impending doom or feeling that something bad is about to happen. And then there's some miscellaneous things to look for. Other symptoms could be a sudden increase in secretion from your eyes, nose, mouth, and or urinary incontinence. It's important to take immediate action, even if signs and symptoms are generalized. So as an example, if there are generalized hives on more than one body system or more than one body system is involved, or if the signs are serious or life-threatening in nature, even if they involve just one body system, it's important to take action.
Wow, understanding the symptoms by body system is really helpful. How soon might anaphylaxis appear after a vaccine?
Well, symptoms of anaphylaxis often occur within 15 to 30 minutes of vaccination, though it's important to note that it can sometimes take several hours for a symptom to occur. Early signs of anaphylaxis can resemble a mild allergic reaction, and it's often difficult to predict whether initial mild symptoms will progress and become a more of an anaphylactic reaction. In addition, symptoms of anaphylaxis might be more difficult to recognize in people who have difficulty communicating. An example might be those with cognitive impairment, neurological disease, or those taking medications that can cause sedation. Not all symptoms that we discussed are necessarily present during anaphylaxis, and it's important to remember that not all patients have skin reactions.
So, Danielle, what should a nurse do if anaphylaxis is suspected?
Well, Denise, as we mentioned earlier, all vaccine providers should be familiar with your facility's emergency plan and should be certified in cardiopulmonary resuscitation. Generally speaking, if a nurse suspects anaphylaxis, the nurse should administer epinephrine and call 911 immediately.
That's great information. Thank you. What are some tips for other potential adverse reactions?
All healthcare professionals who administer vaccines should also be aware of the potential for syncope after vaccination and the related risk of injury caused by falls. Appropriate measures should be taken to prevent injuries if a patient becomes weak or dizzy or loses consciousness. Some tips include having the patient seated, be watchful of symptoms that precede fainting, such as weakness, dizziness, or pallor, provide supportive care, and take appropriate measures to prevent injuries if such a symptom occurs. They should also observe recipients after vaccination to decrease the risk of injury should they faint. For most vaccines, a 15-minute observation period is recommended. Some persons should be observed longer, 30 minutes after receiving COVID-19 vaccine. More detailed guidance can be found on the CDC site titled Vaccine Interim Clinical Considerations.
Danielle, this is great guidance. Thank you so much for this. Since we have talked a lot about possible adverse reactions to vaccines, can you tell our listeners about the reporting system that collects information about adverse events? It's my understanding that some vaccine events require reporting by state law.
Yes, Denise, that's true. The Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, VAERS, is a national vaccine safety monitoring program. VAERS collects information about adverse events or possible side effects that occur after administration of U.S. licensed vaccines. For more information about VAERS, you can visit the VAERS website, VAERS, or call VAERS at 800-822-7967.
What are the best practices for monitoring following administration?
As a general precaution, Denise, all individuals, regardless of allergy history, should be monitored for at least 15 minutes following vaccination.
So, Danielle, where can we get more information?
Okay, well, you're going to want to get a pen to write this down. For ACIP's General Best Practice Guidelines for Immunization, go to the CDC website and search the site for General Best Practice Guidelines for Immunization.
That is great information, Danielle. We are so grateful to get this timely information out to our listeners today. Well, that will wrap up today's discussion of vaccine handling and administration. Our goal is to help you provide the best possible care for your residents by providing the resources and education when and where you need them. Thank you, Danielle, for joining us today, for sharing your expertise and providing this valuable information for our listeners. I'd also like to thank everyone joining us today for this podcast. We truly hope that you've learned something and look forward to having you tune in again for additional podcasts in the future. If any of our listeners have questions regarding the information that we discussed today, please reach out to your OmniCare clinical nurse or account manager. If you are interested in or are not familiar with OmniCare's vast array of services, please contact us at elearning@omnicare.com. Have a great day.